G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
realfaith.org.au I set off to go to Scotland for 3 months, and then I'm off to Mozambique to start this church planting phase. But then COVID hit. So that 3 months turned into 6 months, and the plan was to go down to England and to fly out to Africa, back to Mozambique. And that flight actually got cancelled. And so 1 week turned into 8 months.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Jordan Olney is a young man who had dreams of becoming a millionaire through real estate investments. He's been on the program in the past to share his story and how, just when he had saved up enough money to buy his first house, the Lord led him to spend it to pay for going to Bible school in Africa. That interview ended with Jordan telling us that while he was in Africa, he met people who invited him to go on yet another adventure. This time it would be for 1 year of ministry work in Europe. So that's where we ended. Today we'll pick up Jordan's story and we'll hear how not everything went to plan, but God has certainly blessed him in remarkable and unexpected ways. Jordan Olney, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Eric. Great to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And let's kind of get a recap of what happened right as we ended last time.
Yeah, so when I was in Africa, in Mozambique, which is in southeastern Africa, and I was doing missions work there with an organization called Pioneer 61.
And how old were you at this time?
At this time, I'm about 22.
Okay.
So, at that time I was there in Mozambique, and we had a missions group come over from the UK, led by a pastor called Adam Voke, and we got along very well. I did with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that stage, Nick and Marlene, who were the leaders of Pioneer 61 in Mozambique, they had basically said to me that they'd love me to come back long term with the mission and to kind of head up their church planting slash pastoring program and in the future. And of course, you know, that's a massive honor.
Yeah.
And, you know, fell directly in line with what I've felt my calling to be.
Mm.
My parents and my grandparents were pastors, and that's who I believe God's called me to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd spoken to this guy, Adam, and asked him a bunch of questions and was very curious as to how he goes about pastoring. And, you know, it just so happened that Nick and Marlene had said, we'd love to send you to Europe for a year to spend time with Adam and to spend time with him and all his connections, because he's actually under an umbrella of ministry. So they've got, you know, multiple church plants spread all throughout Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an amazing connection to make for myself. And he sent an email out to all of his friends who are church pastors, you know, Sweden, Poland, Serbia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A trip of a lifetime.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just laid out like this.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them came back and said, yeah, we'd love to have this guy come and do some training with us and serve us for a little bit. Pretty much each place that I went to, about 15 different churches all throughout Europe, was spent between 2 and 4 weeks there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was incredible.
Yeah, amazing. So we spoke with you just a few months before you left on that adventure of a lifetime. So tell us, how did it go?
Yeah, it was incredible. So my base was the UK, and which is quite nice because the UK is quite a similar culture to Australia. And so, you know, I had that as a base, very homely, incredible pastor. So I spent time with Adam and his family, and they made room for me, and I basically slotted in as one of their kids, pretty much. So that was a big blessing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long after that I started bouncing around the UK and started going to places like Portugal, and which was really cool as well, because being in Mozambique, having learned Portuguese, I was able to kind of speak with them in their language in Portugal, which is quite nice. And so kept going around, but it was actually really interesting. The whole point of it was to see what church planting slash pastoring looks like in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got so many different cultures throughout Europe.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, you know, Western, if we can call it that, westernized cultures, a lot of eastern cultures, a lot of poverty as well, I saw, which I didn't expect. In places like Serbia and like East Serbia and Bulgaria. So just kind of seeing what works cross-culturally from a pastoral standpoint was really important to me for hopefully heading back to Mozambique.
So it sounds neat to go to all these countries, but there was an overall purpose. It was training for you, but also being a blessing to those churches as well.
Yeah, there were so many different factors to the trip, and just a bonus was being able to travel and make all of these connections. So one of the biggest things that I drew from the trip was a two-way door basically had opened where I'd formed this relationship with all of these different pastors and churches as well, most of them under 50 people. I'd drawn this this relationship between us where one day they can come to Mozambique and minister and be ministered to by our people and the experience.
So that was your overall goal, was after all this, once you're trained, to go back to Mozambique and do ministry there.
Yeah. So so Nick and Marlene, the leaders of Pioneer 61, had asked me to head up that in the future, that church planting kind of phase, because we've got the ministry there. You know, we're working with people, teaching them how to be mature Christians, but we don't actually have that official, you know, church set up, which needs to happen as the next natural step.
So let's look back at your year of training. Some of the most memorable experiences?
Yeah, I remember this one time. So in southeast Serbia, which is a more poverty-stricken place, a place called Leskovac, we'd basically spent some time going out in an afternoon to minister, and these people have nothing. And we'd gone out and we just started playing music in the streets, which was an amazing experience because we had just people coming out from every nook and cranny there was. And it was this kind of run-down city. And, you know, we had a couple hundred people come out, if not 1,000 people. And this kid came up to me, and they don't speak English, especially in this community. And this kid came up to me and he spoke English and it was great.
Oh, so he that was unexpected, yeah.
Yeah, he basically tagged along with me as my translator.
Oh, wow.
And
great.
So whilst the whole pack or people ministering, they're all playing music in this big circle, I really felt called to just start ministering to the people who weren't coming out and to the people who were on the fringe. And this kid came with me. It was amazing because I'd seen this lady that was quite a bit older, really struggling to get upstairs, and she had to have two people holding her, going up and down this flight of stairs, and felt called to go pray for her. And so with my little buddy, we went
your
over.
Your new little buddy.
Yeah, my new little buddy. We went over there bold and confident, and it can be easier sometimes when you don't speak that language to be able to step out in boldness. It just is how it is.
And,
I suppose you're not as afraid of shame or anything like that. But anyway, we go over to this lady and I ask through this kid, you know, do you want some prayer? We believe in healing and most of them know about Jesus, but they don't know his actual healing power or the reality of relationship with him. And so she's fine for that. Basically, we pray for her and God fixes her knees. She's walking.
Oh, wow.
She starts walking up and down the stairs. So
really?
We get her to test it out.
Yeah.
And she tries to bend down. She can do it. She's got this surprised look on her face, also confusion. And she starts, you know, I tell her, can you test it out on the stairs? And sure enough, she doesn't need anyone to help her. She starts going up and down the stairs. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, fantastic.
It's funny because sometimes we pray for healing and we're full of faith. But when it actually happens, it's like, wait,
Wait. What an amazing story. So that's just one of many places that you ministered to, but that's one of the most memorable.
That one stands out.
Our guest today is Jordan Olney, who's getting us updated on what's been happening in his life since the last time he's been on the program. Next, we're going to hear how the global pandemic throws a monkey wrench into his plans while he's in Europe. But God still manages to bless him abundantly. All that more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatabo, and our guest today is a young man named Jordan Olney, who's getting us updated on what's been happening in his life since the last time he was on the program. Before the break, we heard how Jordan went to Europe to train to be a church planter and a pastor, with the aim of eventually using those skills to do ministry work in Mozambique. Now we're going to find out how his life takes an unexpected twist while he's in Scotland. So let's fast forward to this year of learning and being trained and going to different places comes to an end. Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
Yeah, so I was blessed to be able to come back home for a couple of months and recharge the batteries with family. And It is difficult being away from family for so long.
Oh, yeah.
I would say probably of the last 5 years, I've probably spent 4 years of that time away from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's difficult. But was able to recharge my batteries and kind of pack my bags for the next adventure.
Yeah.
And I felt very clearly that God had called me back to Scotland. I had been in Scotland previously, in the previous year. It was about 2018-19. And so I felt very clearly that the relationship was really strong there and that God had something else for me there. And he wanted me to learn something more, particularly from one of the pastors whose name was Mike. And so we're in the Scottish lowlands, about an hour south of Edinburgh. So I set off, packed my bags my whole life, basically, in this one bag, setting off to go to Scotland for 3 months. So this is the plan, right? We go for 3 months and then I'm off to Mozambique to start this church planting phase.
That was the plan.
That was the plan.
What happened? In reality.
In life, we learn to pencil in plans.
Yeah.
And so in reality, I go to Scotland for 3 months and it was great. I got to spend good time with Mike and the church there, just strengthening that relationship as well. And again, going to have them come to Mozambique and maybe bring some people from Mozambique to Scotland one day. That's the hope. But then COVID hit.
Yes. So I it hit you and it hit everybody.
Exactly. So I basically went over, I think from memory, COVID started around February, I think.
Yeah, March, February 2020.
Yeah. So I headed off on the 15th of February. So basically as soon as it hit and was, you know, growing. And so
And getting worse and worse.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure, like everyone else, I was thinking, this won't be, it's not that bad. It won't become this massive thing that it has turned into. That's what I thought, yeah. But so I just plowed on with my plans and was starting to try and get my visa ready for Mozambique whilst I was in the UK. And the process kind of just got longer and longer. While I was in Scotland, there were lockdowns and et cetera. So I actually wasn't able to do the church work that I was planning to do.
Oh, okay.
Which was
because of a lockdown, you can't do anything.
Which was quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, God, come on. You know, what are we doing? Feels like a waste of time. But God's so much bigger than us doing things, you know, to learn. He teaches us in many ways. And I did learn a lot of things being there. So that 3 months turned into 6 months. And I was actually blessed to be able to stay up on a farm there in Scotland.
Oh, okay.
And it's, anyone's been there, it's incredible. It's kind of like New Zealand. It's very green and lush, mountains everywhere. And
yeah, so you got to go outside. You weren't cooped up in a little apartment somewhere.
No, well, that was another thing is that, you know, everyone there had to stay in their house. And most people live in the UK and in kind of like box houses right next to each other.
Yeah.
Quite thin, but high, you know, three-story houses. Anyway, so most people are stuck in their houses and I'm on this farm with acres and acres of land to
Not exactly feeling trapped in.
No, exactly. Yeah. So it was a massive blessing despite the situation. Got to learn how to drive tractors around and do a bunch of things, use a bunch of tools as well whilst I was there. And whilst I was actually at the farm, I stayed in what's called a yurt, which is a Mongolian tent. And so this is about maybe 500, 600 meters from the main house down in the forest. And so I could basically stay there by myself at night with a fire going right in the middle of the yurt, this big tent, sort of circular tent.
Yeah.
The family's in Mongolia. They live there. The whole family will live in this one room. And so I got to learn to play guitar when I was down there each night. And it was just a really incredible walk up and down each day, just being able to pray, walking through the forest up to the homestead. And so that was great.
Yet another adventure, although a little unexpected.
Yeah.
So you finished your time in Scotland. and then go to England? How did that come about?
Yeah, so the plan was to go down to England for 1 week just to say hi to the church there that I had a relationship with, and to fly out to Africa, back to Mozambique. And that flight actually got cancelled whilst I was down in England. And so 1 week turned into 8 months.
Oh, my goodness. 1 week to 8 months.
Yeah.
And so did you have enough contacts? Did you have a place to stay?
Yeah, Adam Voke, actually, my base contact and his family, they took me back in and let me stay there for 8 months. I had my own room and, again, slotted back into the family. It was incredible.
So that's good. Mm-hmm. You have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
What do you do all day?
Well, I had this thought. So an old friend of mine that I went to school with, who worked for the same company that I did a few years ago, he was talking to me about leaving the job. And I had this thought, maybe I should apply for that job because he was working from home remotely because of COVID here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, threw the message out to work and said, hey, do you mind if I work with you guys on the team from the UK? And they were totally fine with that.
Oh, wow. So you have a good internet connection, obviously. And
Yeah, it was perfect.
Can do your old job from England.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
In order to slot in with the team, because it's a 24/7 crew, I was waking up starting my shift at 4 a.m. until 12 p.m. So it actually ended up working really well, the time slot with me. And so I was able to go on a casual position, but for full-time hours for 8 months straight.
Oh, my goodness. So this time that could have been just wasted in a sense, suddenly you're earning an income, you're being productive.
Yeah. Well, it was almost like the place itself wasn't prison, of course. it was a beautiful place to stay and very blessed.
Yeah.
But the situation felt like it was in prison, you know, or like a bit like a Joseph kind of story where...
Yeah, what do you mean by that, a Joseph story?
Yeah, so we know that Joseph grew up and had a lot of promise over his life and had God speak to him when he was young and give him visions and dreams. And, you know, he knew he was going places. Mm-hmm. But things happened in Joseph's story where, you know, he was thrown into a pit by his brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then into prison as well. And before
things didn't go to plan.
Yes, exactly. Penciled plans that were rubbed out. And so what I mean by Joseph's story is that I've given my life to God many times, you know, given it back over to him. And I know that God's called me to do many things, but it was like this limbo period where... Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, God. You know, I had so many questions in that time. And I was like, man, God, I've given this to you. Why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we going for it? I'm in this prison and limbo phase. But he had other plans because I was able to work during that time.
Meanwhile, your bank account is going up, up, up.
Well, I'm not spending much money at all. You know, I'm just living.
It's just all income.
Yeah,
it's all working and
pretty
income.
Much all income. And so... finally, after 5 different flight cancellations and reschedules and almost $10,000 that I'd spent on extra flights.
Is that right? That you didn't end up taking?
Yeah. No, so I'd spent this money on additional flights because my sister actually got engaged and is due to be married. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel pressure. I've got to get back home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For family reasons now.
Yeah, for family reasons now. And after 5 flight cancellations and reschedules, I finally get this flight back to Perth. Mm-hmm. And so
you're kind of changed your plans from trying to go to Mozambique to just get back to Australia.
Yeah, the plans are completely changed because all throughout that time as well, as finding out my sister's getting married, my visa isn't working. It's just not happening. They're doing their best over there in Mozambique, but still it hasn't come through. So I'm like, okay, God's shut the door.
Yep.
Clearly.
Cancel that plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cancel the plan. Mm-hmm. Wipe it off. It's okay to have plans canceled and doors shut in your face. It's not nice, but it happens.
Yep.
One of the things that I learned when I was there is to not, like a little kid, bang against the door and force it down. You know, if it shuts, then it's all clearly of God that it's shut and he'll open it at the right time. So I accepted that and basically said, okay, Mozambique can go on the back burner just for now. I know it's there. I'm going back one day. Well, that's the plan.
yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah. So I finally get this flight come through that goes to Perth. And my cousins live there.
8 months later.
8 months later, yeah. So my cousins live there and I have to go into 2-week quarantine, which is like $2,500 out of my pocket.
Oh, wow. Now, why did you fly into Perth instead of Melbourne?
Yeah. So obviously, Melbourne is where I live, but in Victoria, it was very strict at that time, basically not letting flights in or out. And so Perth was pretty much the only option for me because
the only way to get into Australia.
Yeah, there were at that time. There were like 30,000 people just in the UK alone, Australians, trying to get home.
Wow.
And so each flight that was coming into Australia was, I mean, there was no way. There was almost no way.
Yeah.
And so I finally get this flight come through, but it's for Perth. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Anything I can get.
I'm getting closer to home.
Yeah. Get me on soil and yeah, I'm happy. I'll walk home.
But you have relatives there.
Yeah. So it works out really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get out of my 2-week hotel quarantine,
mm-hmm.
which is a really amazing time in itself. Just you can't go outside. I couldn't open the window. It was literally me in quarantine.
Hmm.
I had a TV and my Bible and that's pretty much it. But I was able to work during that time as well.
Oh, really?
Another blessing.
Oh, wow.
So, it paid for quarantine.
Oh, okay. More money. That's good.
So, that was great.
Yeah.
I get out of quarantine and see my cousins. And mm-hmm. It's amazing just seeing family again, that connection.
Yeah.
And they're actually builders. So, they're carpenters. They do roofs over there in Perth. And they're talking to me about all these government grants that are going out towards people trying to stimulate the economy for building homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this stage, there are so many people trying to live there, but not enough homes. For a rental, any given day, you might see a line that's coming out of people trying to apply to get this as a rental.
Oh, just a housing shortage.
Yeah, housing shortage. There you go. And so, the government's throwing money away at new builds and they were like, well, you should do it. You should go for a house. And, you know, that was always your dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Going back to the very beginning.
Exactly.
You wanted to buy a house, but then had to sidetrack to ministry.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this happens.
And apparently, you can do both. You know, it's not like...
Who knew?
It's not like they're... Exactly. It's not like they're separate. And so, all of a sudden, you know, that dream of mine being able to own a house and start a property portfolio, very passionate about that.
Yeah.
When I gave that up to go do ministry in Africa, all of a sudden that had come back. The opportunity had come back almost on a silver platter, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I'll talk to a builder online and just live chat someone and we'll set up a meeting and just see where I'm at, you know, not expecting anything.
Yeah.
And so I organized an appointment up in Perth, about an hour's drive away for the next day. I go to the builder's place, sit down with this guy, and he pulls out, the first piece of paper he pulls out this brochure of a bird's eye view of a new development plan. And I'm like, there's something in my brain. I'm just like, what is that? That looks really familiar. And it turns out that I had been there that morning.
Oh, really?
That morning,
oh,
dropping
wow.
some tools off to my cousin, who's building one of those houses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, I actually realized, I called him and I realized that he was building the house 2 doors down from this one block of land. It was the last one available, literally directly opposite a park as well. And so, I'm like, okay, well, maybe, you know, this sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, he kind of sussed it out. And long story short, the guy was like, I don't want to pressure you, but if you want to apply for the government grants, I'm going to need to know right now whether you want to do it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what?
You I'm know, just looking into this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just sussing it out, seeing where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, can I take the contract back home tonight to have my cousin go through it and let you know? I can text you tonight. He's like, look, I really need you to, we can't do it. The last day was yesterday. And so, I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling pressure from him to make commission or anything, but I am, there is the pressure of the moment. Yet, I felt peace. It was really a really strange feeling. I felt peace about it and went through the contract yet again, called my dad, and I signed it. And that was it.
Oh, wow. So, now, you are the proud owner of property in Perth.
Yep. With finance to go for a house, a brand new house build.
Oh, wow. Well, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time here, but what an incredible turn of events from your original dream. God gives it back to you.
Just like that.
Plus all the ministry experience that you've gained.
Yeah. And so, literally, maybe 2 or 3 days later, I'd had someone prophesy, give me a prophetic word that God was giving me new ground and new foundations that he was giving me. And that was, it blew my mind when they said that.
And you thought it was metaphorically.
It was literally, God was giving me new foundations. So, wow. It was confirmed in that way as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, I'd signed this contract, but speaking to the banks or my mortgage broker, he told me that in order to get finance for the house, I was going to have to get a permanent position instead of casual and to have my salary increase a bit. And I'd been talking to work and trying to suss that out. What does that look like? There weren't any options but going full-time night shift, as in 11 p.m. till 7 a.m. And at this stage, I'm working back in the office. And so I applied for
it. You got your
old
job back.
I got my old job back, and it ticked both boxes, full-time and an increase in salary. And so—
just what you needed.
Just what I needed.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, God, silver platter.
Fantastic.
He gave it right back to me. And I'd just say, look, to anyone out there who might be struggling with failed dreams or anything, or shut doors, you know, I would just encourage you to just stay faithful to the Lord and do what He's given you to do, whatever that is. He knows your heart's desire and your dreams. He's given them to you in the beginning, already knowing what's going to happen. And so I just encourage anyone out there to just stay faithful to the plow and give those dreams, constantly give them back to God.
Amen.
And you never know, He will give them back to you.
And sometimes very unexpected ways.
Absolutely.
Jordan Olney, once again, thank you for sharing more of your story.
Pleasure.
And probably in a couple of years, we'll have to have you back again.
Sounds good, Eric. Thanks.
Our guest today has been Jordan Olney, who joined us in our Melbourne studios.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.